Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, soon to be Liberty State. Once again, brought to you by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news, behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. It's about Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. So today there have been a lot of things that I haven't really talked about on the show before, but one of them that it's kind of interesting for many of you, you probably relate to this. But when you start out something and you're immediately criticized, okay, you can't be the expert in that. You can't be the person that knows better in that. We know better than you do. And this could take many different forms, you know, property rights, wolves, 51st state, or other things just in normal, you know, starting a business, being involved in a ministry, a particular ministry. And what I found is that people don't actually like to be confronted about anything. And let alone listen to the next generation's, or the previous generation's, wisdom on certain things. So if you have, you know, older people that want to pass on wisdom, you know, younger generation doesn't want to listen to it, you know, might as well be as good as them not saying anything, not passing it on. I found that true in politics in particular, where on issues that not a lot has happened in years, and if you try to step into that issue, boy, people can get really upset about it, even though they haven't been doing anything. You know, they might project a persona of somebody that's doing something, but if you really look deeply, what meetings are they having, what legislation has been written, what specific actions have been taken, what are the fruits, in other words? And you don't see a lot. And if you confront people on that, they get kind of upset. They really do. But you know something? That's the whole part of the problem in the United States of this. We've always done it this way. The most dangerous language, most dangerous, arguably, words in the English language. We've always done it this way. You just don't know. You need to learn. You just don't know. Even though you may have put the diligence into learning, may have far more qualifications than they do experientially, you know, that doesn't matter, right? There's always this idea by some people that they know better. And you can listen to them and just stop where you're at and just not do anything. And then you become part of the problem. You know, so you have all these people out there right now saying, oh, the 51st state, how would that ever happen? And I addressed that on a previous show. Or we can never get to a point in Washington state where we can manage wolves. It's just not going to ever happen. Or there's never really any way we're going to be able to beat back downtown Seattle. Or. Don't start a new business. It's too dangerous. Don't get involved in that ministry. Do you know what they're about? And it's not to say you shouldn't have discernment. Obviously, you should have discernment to pray about it. But the fact of the matter is that at a point, when you reach criticism of a certain level, you have a choice. Ignore it and move on, or give up and not. And if you listen to it and give up, then you have become yourself part of the problem. And there are some things, at least in politics today, there's some things in our families, in our businesses, where we have people around us that are criticizing us. And yet don't have the experience, the knowledge base, the drive themselves. And what they're essentially doing is trying to bring you down to where they're at instead of being lifted up to where you are in Christ Jesus. And I think if we remember that, our businesses and our families, politics, that's what made America great. People going out and doing something despite the criticism and just making it happen, we'd be a far better country. And also, not being so critical of people that are trying to go make it happen. Maybe you don't have the energy anymore. Well, that's, you know, that's a matter of self introspection. But if you do, and you acknowledge that you do have the energy, or you see somebody that does have the energy and you acknowledge they have the energy, then don't get in their way. Support them. You know, and I think if we take that approach, especially as Christians, we will actually help a lot more people achieve their dreams and thereby achieving our dreams as well. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Out of Israel, after dozens and dozens of rockets landing in Israel that the media says, you know, look at, I am tired of the attempt to paint Israel in a certain light when since their very inception, the Arabs have tried to drive them off that land into the sea. That is historic fact. You cannot argue that. And there are some people that are still attacking Israel, and you never hear them talk about these rocket attacks, right? Never hear. I mean, against civilian targets, by the way, never hear them talk about that stuff. It's just reprehensible. Well, the bottom line is now, there are, according to Debka File, reports of Hezbollah troops positioned right on the Israeli border. And on top of that, they are planning another series of incursions into Israel. Now, if you're the Israelis, what are you going to do? Are you going to let them just do that? No, of course not. And that's why they've been going after the Iranians in Syria. Also, and on top of that, it's not as simple as to say Iran has never attacked the United States. Why? That is just not, that's flat out not true. The barracks bombing in Beirut, Hezbollah terrorist activities all over the globe. It's just not true. And I think that if we're going to look at this objectively, that this is not just a globalist conspiracy either, that there are some legitimate national interests involved as well. And yes, there might be globalists trying to drive things a certain way. Yes, there might be globalists trying to take advantage of the situation. But there is a national interest in protecting yourself. And if we're seeing that happen, where you have one country being attacked constantly over decades, not just one-offs, but over decades. And if we go back even farther in history, who attacked whom first? Historically, there is no argument about that. then why aren't we letting them defend themselves, or why are we trying to advocate the opposite? This doesn't make any sense. Not at all. That brings us next to Iraq. Muqtada al-Sadr, who aligned himself with the communists in 2015, very anti-American. His party won in Iraq, the parliamentary elections, his coalition. Now, he's not exactly pro-Iranian either, but he is a free agent. But he is a Shiite. And I'm going to tell you something, too, about that whole thing. Now, some people are saying, who cares? Why are we interested? Well, because if you have a communist-aligned person in power, then they're probably going to gravitate toward the sphere of Russia and China. So geostrategically, we do have to pay attention to that. And that doesn't mean we have to be involved unconstitutionally in areas of the Middle East. But we certainly should know. And the idea, too, that, you know, an anti-American cleric is not going to suddenly cause problems for the United States is just naive. Also in Syria, Fox News confirming what InfoWars had reported on years ago, that weapons during the Obama administration that were sent to Syria did in fact end up in the hands of Al-Qaeda. Not hearing a lot about that. You know, because Roseanne, that's more important. That's more important than history. Also, on the international front, Korean peace talks, June 12th, while canceled, it looks like it was, again, posturing and there may be something occurring. Also, on the international front, Hungary chasing out George Soros. Great job, Viktor Orban. Great job. And also this interesting case of Tommy Robinson in England, where the English decided to imprison him without access to a lawyer. And it's kind of been subsumed in the media cycle. We need to keep our eyes on this because he was reporting the truth about the radical Islamic rape gangs there in England. Unreal. And understand something, too. They want that kind of power here in the United States that you, based on your speech, you will be punished. That is how communism and socialism operates. That's the only way they can get and maintain power. It's the only way. Because challenged, they always lose. And if you have young people or you're a young person listening right now that is kind of leaning towards socialism, okay, I want to be very clear about this. If you support socialism, if you support communism, you support an ideology that is responsible for the murder of more people than any other ideology in the history of the world. You're supporting murder, essentially. Because along with socialism becomes abortion, euthanasia, and then the ultimate and logical end to it all, who's worth something to society, they get to live. Those who are not, don't. Eugenics. So let's not mince words here. You need to figure out, if you're listening to this right now, why capitalism actually prevents that, how it prevents that, and how socialism, and especially for anybody that calls themselves a Christian, socialism is essentially replacing God with the state. And by the way, many quotes to that effect from socialist luminaries. And I use that term tongue-in-cheek. On the national front, Dinesh D'Souza looks like he's going to be pardoned by Donald Trump. That's kind of an interesting take. Now, we've been talking about what's going on with the Hammonds. That's on his desk, too, so he must be reviewing a lot of these pardons. But Trump pardoning Dinesh D'Souza. again, targeted by the government for what he believed. And Trump fighting back against it. Great job. Also, State Department Inspector General referring criminal charges, agents of the DOJ and FBI, second special counsel being called for by Congress, FBI agents requesting to be subpoenaed so they can testify against the deep state. And oddly, some people on the right, at least that's what they call themselves on the right, trying to defend the spying on Donald Trump. Judge Napolitano, actually, which shocked me. I don't get that. I mean, why would you defend the misuse of the intelligence apparatus? It doesn't seem to make sense to me. So looking forward to the investigations actually coming out of this and hoping that they actually follow through on investigations with this. Also on the national front, location tracking with your cell phone, done through third-party companies, then given to the government without verification of a warrant. It is happening. It is happening real time. If you do not know about A, turning off your location services, but B, using encrypted text and phone calling, you need to do that. Look into it. Signal, Wire, some great options out there for encrypted email as well. Amazon selling their facial recognition software to law enforcement. And if people, you know, here's the interesting thing about folks that call themselves socialist or on the left. Oh, we need to take down the big corporations and this and that. And they don't ever recognize the big corporations and the government are working hand in hand. They never try to recognize it. And it's usually the same people who, by the way, generally have a socialist ideology. Very interesting that they miss that. Also on the national front, gun confiscation called for by Rep. Eric Swalwell out of California, Democrat. Not just saying we need to confiscate guns, but also if you don't abide by it, we're going to make you a criminal. It's creepy that this stuff's happening in America. And folks, we need to reclaim it at the local level. And I got to tell you something. The politicians that don't want to do the right thing make up every excuse for why we need to delay, why we need to stall on something, and don't want to do the right thing. We need to call that into account. We have to do the right thing. We are getting to a breaking point. If we don't reclaim freedom at the local level. Well, Trump's in office. Matt, what are you worried about? Okay, what happens in 2 years? Or 4 years? Or 6 years? That's a ridiculous argument. You think these people are going to stop? Trying to seize your property and raise taxes and stifle free speech and take your guns and kill unborn children? You think they're going to stop? No, they aren't. Unless we make them stop at the local level and reclaim that ground for freedom. And we can do that through the political process if we're involved. Also on the national front, the scouts no longer can use boy now. They've removed that. The scouts and condoms at their world jamboree and people saying, oh, it's not really as bad as you think. There are condoms there, but they're only at the aid stations. Give me a break. Why? This is if you have a family member in the Scouts, formerly the Boy Scouts, formerly a decent organization, if you have them, pull them out. That's what I advocate. Pull them out. Get them out. That organization is going to completely crumble. Something will replace it. Also on the national front, the NFL must kneel, finally, day late and a dollar short. Also, and this is interesting, coming out of San Diego, large-scale drone testing is beginning. They're going to be testing in Reno and San Diego and several other places around the United States, large-scale drone deliveries and testing of automated air traffic control systems on a large scale, so it's actually happening. And as a side note to that, 5G, remember that we're going to do some future shows in regards to 5G and what that means. But that's all part of it, okay? It is. A piece of good news on the national front, Supreme Court of the United States of America saying that requiring abortion clinics to be affiliated with a hospital is okay. Well, why is that? Because the abortion industry has essentially been carved out from typical standards of practice in medical care. You know, informed consent, all this other stuff really needs to be enforced. And so Oklahoma doing it, Supreme Court upholding it. Great news. Also on the regional front, female genital mutilation report coming out by the AHA Foundation that Washington State has an F in trying to prevent this horrible practice. To be not confused with circumcision, this literally is mutilation. And to the point that it cannot be reversed. I'll just leave it at that. And some people say, well, if you ban one, you got to ban circumcision. It's not true because circumcision doesn't negatively affect the body in the way it does. Now, somebody's going to probably try to send me a report. I've seen the reports out there that actually say circumcision is a positive thing. The bottom line is this FGM, female genital mutilation, is part of being Sharia compliant, okay? And there are people that are taking their young daughters out of country to have this horrific procedure done. Also on the regional front, and by the way, just read the report from AHA. On the regional front as well, continuing the drive on the petitions regarding pardoning the Hammonds. It's at the White House website. You can take a look at it there. If you haven't signed it, go ahead and do it. Also on the regional front, it wasn't enough to do a head tax in downtown Seattle. Now they got to do a property tax. Wow. A property tax increase on a head tax, and that's why everybody's leaving Seattle. Now, here's the interesting thing. They leave Seattle, then they bring the politics with them. Learn. Stop bringing the politics to places that are successful. Understand why places are successful when they expand freedom. Also on the regional front, Jim Pena out, the forester at Region 6, the guy who really is responsible, I think, for the mismanagement of our forests, or national forests, is out as of July 3rd. That's a huge win against the deep state. Governor Inslee continuing to defend the slaughter of the unborn. These people are defending the practice of aborting a baby because it has Down syndrome, but even more hypocritically. And we talk about the biggest hypocrisy out there, this war on women. They're defending the ability of someone to abort a child because they are a woman. That's the real war on women. Also, the FBI agent on trial in the Louisville Finicum case. We'll get some more information on where that's headed. But alleged to have fired two errant shots. I think that's a misuse of the word errant, but so be it. And lastly, on the regional front, California indeed moving forward with a Consumer Protection Act changes to essentially ban the Bible. But also it's happening here in Washington where political speech is being banned under the Consumer Protection Act by a judge over on the west side of the state. So that's the future, is using the Consumer Protection Act to crack down on conservative and Christian speech. So remember that. Lastly, on the local front, Red Pill Expo coming up June 21st through 23rd. And again, you can buy tickets. Use the code SHEA, S-H-E-A, get 15% off. That's going to be downtown Spokane. Really looking forward to that. And then also on the local front, this weekend, Spokane County's Lincoln Day. Look forward to seeing everybody there. We're going to have a 51st state table there as well. And a great opportunity to listen to Jason Chaffetz and, more importantly, network with everybody there and just learn what's going on and how you can be involved in protecting freedom and protecting liberty. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for me and the show. And make sure you go to VoteShea.com if you want to keep us on the air. And visit Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. Like the page, share it with your friends and family. And last but not least, if you miss a show, and we have a replay every night at 9, but if you miss a show, you can always go to iTunes. You can go to Podbean. You can go to YouTube, and the shows are up there as well, and you can listen at your leisure. Well, it's my honor to introduce today somebody who is an award-winning international journalist, educator, author, consultant. He's going to be at the Red Pill Expo. He writes for WorldNet Daily, The New American Magazine, among others, and is really renowned as one of the best investigative journalists here in America and really talking about the issues that matter for today. Alex Newman, thanks for joining me very much on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me, Matt. It's an honor to be with you.
Yeah. So, well, you're going to be here in Spokane, right, here coming up?
I am, yeah. I'll be at the Red Pill Expo, and I hope the listeners will be, too. It's going to be a great event, and I know you will be, too, so I think it's going to be a good time.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening out there, and I just want to kind of get your take on this, the whole deep state thing. I asked Jerome Corsi here a few weeks ago what his thought was on this. What do you think is honestly happening at the national level, and what do you think the listeners need to know that maybe they aren't getting, well, definitely not getting in the mainstream media, but maybe they're missing in their daily lives?
Well, you know, that is the $500 million question there. In fact, I take that question so seriously that we did an entire special issue of the New American Magazine on the deep state. We covered basically every angle of it, the bureaucracies, the intelligence agencies, the semi-secret organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral, Bilderberg Group, the money men, right, looking in at the Rockefellers, the Soroses, the Bill Gates, the Rothschild dynasty. And, of course, then the really secret organizations like the Bohemian Grove guys out in California, you know, 2,500 of the most powerful men in the world get together for, you know, bizarre rituals and stuff. And actually, some of our friends and colleagues have caught on camera, right? Alex Jones put the video up on YouTube. And so that's kind of the big picture. Now, Trump has been talking about, you know, the criminal deep state, and he's really talking about the elements within the government, kind of the permanent administrative shadow government that is very real, that very much exists. But, you know, the real important point, I think, is to know that these things are all connected from behind the scenes. It transcends Republican, Democrat. And I do think that at this moment in time, we have a historic opportunity, something that has not happened in my entire lifetime, a chance to put these people on defense and start reclaiming our liberties and reclaiming our country.
So we have some people, though, still trying to downplay this. And I was a little shocked at Judge Napolitano kind of trying to downplay what Trump was saying about Spygate. How bad is this for the average American? They try not to pay attention to some of this. They got a lot of things happening in their daily lives. But how bad truly is it? And was there indeed a spy inside the Trump campaign?
I think there was. I think it's clear that there was. In fact, you know, James Clapper kind of admitted it. He said, well, I don't like the term spying, but, you know, that's kind of what it was. So there absolutely was. And, you know, I think it's even bigger than Trump has led on. I think Trump has a pattern of kind of giving just enough rope for these people to hang themselves with without revealing his full deck, his full, you know, hand, so to speak. And I think this may be another case of that. You know, I think it's absolutely clear. You know, you mentioned Jerome Corsi. I did an interview with him last weekend in Washington, D.C. We're at a meeting up there. And I think Dr. Corsi has a really good understanding of the elements as far as the government goes. And it's not even really secret anymore. You know, you had, for example, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer saying on MSNBC, oh, well, yeah, you take on the intelligence community and they have six ways from Sunday to get back at you. And you have, you know, former high-ranking people at the NSA going on Twitter saying that they're talking to their friends in the intelligence community, senior people, and that Trump is going to die in jail. Right? Who do these people think they are, that they're going to threaten the life, the liberty of the democratically elected president of the United States of America. That's how powerful these people are. That's how cocky these people are. And I think Trump has put a massive amount of monkey wrenches, to use a cliche, into the gears, their operation, in terms of getting us out of the TPP, withdrawing from the UN climate agreement that was negotiated at Paris, in terms of discrediting the media completely. You know, I think 6% of Americans still trust the media. 30% of Americans have even a little bit of trust in the media. So they're done. You know, the deep state's propaganda machine is now practically useless. I mean, people are almost more inclined to do the opposite of what the media says. And that's all huge. So I think we're seeing really good things, Matt.
Well, let's talk a little bit, too, about the fact that the million-dollar question is, billion-dollar question probably, will these people ever actually be punished for this? Will they ever be drug in front of a court and punished for this? Because it seems like, you know, if this was me or you, you know, we would be in jail. The indictment would have been done in 72 hours. We'd be in jail for 2-3 years before we're exonerated or we actually have a trial. It doesn't seem like that happens. And a lot of people are really frustrated by that. What can be done to bring these people to account?
Yeah, I agree with you. That is the billion-dollar question. And there are a lot of people who were involved in blatant criminal activity who need to be punished. And Trump knows about these things. You know, he's spoken publicly about them. He talked about Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton's role in creating ISIS. You know, he actually called Obama and Hillary the co-founders of ISIS. He said ISIS loves Obama and Hillary. They were creating them. They were funding them. They were giving them weapons. And the media freaked out. You know, they said, what kind of ludicrous thing is this wild man saying? And, he let them blabber for a couple of days, and he stood his ground, and then he finally put out some of the evidence, right? A 2012 report from the Defense Intelligence Agency showing that the U.S. government knew the Syrian rebellion was led by al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood. They knew that they actually said it was the policy of the power supporting the opposition to create what they described as a Salafist principality in eastern Syria. Well, today we call that the Islamic State or ISIS. So Trump knows. I mean, you know, that's treason. The very definition of treason is giving aid and comfort to the enemies of the United States. They admit in this document that they knew al-Qaeda was running this insurgency, that they were supporting this insurgency, and that they wanted to create an Islamic State. So Trump knows these things. The problem is the deep state within the federal government, and unfortunately they seem to have compromised the attorney general somehow. I don't know the mechanics of it, but he's sitting on top of a bureaucracy that despises him, that hates him. And it's actually very hard to remove these people. We have civil service protections that make it practically impossible to fire these people. So I think he's doing what he can, and I think the first step is doing just what he's done. He's making the American people aware of these things, because without the people behind him, there's no chance he would succeed on this.
You know, I was speaking with a person in Congress about investigating the criminal deep state, and they said, well, it really is up to the attorney general. And, you know, the conversation kind of then revolved around, well, why can't you defund some of these agencies, and then you could remove them? That gets around quite a few civil service laws in that respect. Why not do some of that? I think there is a bigger role for Congress to play if it wants to play it.
Absolutely. I think Congress is really the key. You know, people look to President Trump as some kind of savior. You know, he's just a man. He can only do so much. The Constitution severely limits the powers of the presidency. He is not a dictator, and we don't want him to be a dictator. Congress and the House of Representatives in particular is where the real power is. Unfortunately, you know, if we talk about a deep state, we have to acknowledge that serious major parts of the Republican leadership, not just in the party, but in Congress, people like Paul Ryan and some of the other Republican leaders in Congress, are completely in the tank for these deep staters. They are globalists. They want to sell out American sovereignty and infringe on our Constitution and pour more and more trillions of dollars worth of debt onto the backs of our children and grandchildren. They're totally on board with this. They're part of the problem. So until the American people do the right thing, which is clean house in Congress, you know, there's not too much that Trump can do to address a lot of these issues. You know, Congress is the one that passes the bills and funds these agencies and authorizes and mandates these programs. So until we get reasonable elected officials in Congress, you know, we're not going to be able to solve this problem.
So let's shift a little bit to QAnon. I asked Jerome about this. I know his opinion actually has changed since I interviewed him because of all the things going back and forth. But are there really, because I think people want to, they want to embrace the idea that there are kind of white hats inside the government that are really working on behalf of the best interests of the American people. And sometimes those white hats get networked and they help to expose kind of the more criminal deep state. A lot of people think QAnon was or is that. What's your take on QAnon?
You know, that's a very good question, and I've been looking into this. I've seen what Jerry Corsi had to say. I've seen what some of these others have to say, and actually I have good friends, people who are in a position to know these types of things or should be on both sides of this discussion. You know, yeah, QAnon is the real deal. You know, trust the plan, so to speak, right? That it's all going to come out and we're taking it step by step. And then, you know, other people who want to know, they say, no, that's total ridiculousness. You know, it's just some random guy posting cryptic messages on the 8chan board. Don't pay any attention to it. So, you know, I'm going to withhold judgment right now. I certainly hope it's the real deal, and I certainly hope that Trump does have some sort of, you know, smart plan to deal with these types of things. I mean, it's an incredibly complex problem he's dealing with, so any kind of plan to tackle it would have to be very complex. But I really don't know about this QAnon. I'll just say I hope it's the real deal, but I can't say for sure.
Well, it would seem like they would be accurate all the time if it truly was somebody that close to Donald Trump. And but there's been, you know, when I've looked into it, there's some things that are just like spot on, right on point, and then some things that are way off. And you're right, you don't know. Maybe it's several people. Maybe that's part of the reason. You just don't know.
Yeah, and I've heard that theory floated, that maybe there's more than one person involved, or maybe, you know, things changed. And you know, I don't know. I would say let's, you know, hope for the best, but let's also not put all our eggs in one basket and say, you know, trust this plan that some guy on the internet is posting, you know, put all our eggs in that particular basket. Because this is a, you know, multi-pronged effort we need to be engaged in terms of educating the public, in terms of electing better lawmakers to Congress, in terms of supporting the president when he's right, but standing by the Constitution. And, you know, we can't just rely completely on something that somebody's posting on a chat board. So,
well, I think that you know, you have a lot of people out there rightfully saying that the people, us, all of us, have a big role to play in removing the deep state or exposing it. I think that's why we're seeing such a move against the internet, since against free speech. But one of the most egregious things that caught my attention, and you reported on it, was in regards to what happened in England with Tommy Robinson, and the idea that you can actually tell the truth and end up with a secret tribunal essentially putting you in jail. I mean, that is, in modern Western society, that is just unfathomable to me. Tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about this. It is really, you know, if you had told somebody 5 or 10 years ago that this was what was going to be happening in the United Kingdom, they would have laughed at you. That's ridiculous conspiracy theory nonsense that could never happen in a civilized Western country, and yet it happened. So you have this activist, Tommy Robinson. You know, his claim to fame is being critical of Islamism and the mass, you know, it's been much more severe in the United Kingdom than here, but the mass influx of Muslims from Pakistan, from, you know, some of the former British colonies and so on. So he's really been, you know, a tough on borders type of guy, get rid of the illegal immigration. And he was reporting on a trial. It's actually the second time that something like this has happened. He was reporting on a trial of an Islamic gang that was raping children, grooming children. I mean, some of these just, you know, 10 years old, 11, 12-year-old kids. They were being drugged. They were being groomed. They were being trafficked for sexual exploitation. The most horrifying stuff you can imagine. And the media in Britain and around the world was completely missing in action, right? Just complete blackout on this huge story, a massive trial with major implications. And so he went out outside the courtroom and started reporting on this and doing, you know, what any legitimate journalist would be doing, reporting on this, you know, massive, important trial with implications for the entire nation. And the police came, picked him up, you know, this whole phalanx of police. I think they had 6 or 7 that you could see in the video. They charged him with breaching the peace. So they said, you're suspected of breaching the peace, and so we're going to have to take you in. They took him to some secret tribunal behind closed doors, sentenced him to 13 months in prison, apparently on a previous charge of doing the same thing, right, reporting on one of these Islamic child rape trials. They said, well, you know, we arrested you for this before. You didn't obey, so now you're going to serve out the rest of your sentence. And then, making matters even more incredible, they put a gag order on the media. The judge, Judge Marston, I think is his last name, signed an order saying that no media is allowed to report on this until the trial of the Islamic child rape gang is finished. Now, you know, this is absolutely crazy, but it offers a sneak preview of where we're going to be going here in this country if we do not put a stop to all this.
What are some things that you're seeing that are, you know, heading in this direction in the United States of America? And I really firmly believe you're absolutely correct on this, that that's where the left wants to head here. They want to cut off free speech, if not directly, indirectly through, you know, limiting access across all the social media platforms. What are you seeing that the listeners should know about?
Well, you're right. You know, in America, we're very blessed to have the First Amendment, which makes very clear that Congress shall make no law infringing on our freedom of speech, whether, you know, the arbiters of official opinion don't like that speech or not. It doesn't matter. We're still allowed to say it. And, you know, beyond just criticizing Islam and open borders, they've also now made it a crime in many European countries to say the words that are written in the Bible, right? If you quote scripture on the issue of homosexuality, for example, you can literally be put in prison. They put pastors in the UK, in Sweden, in other countries in jail for quoting the Bible. That's how crazy this has become. Now, you know, we haven't gone that far officially in the United States because, again, the First Amendment and our traditions are a very serious obstacle to this. But we're moving in that direction. They're brainwashing the children to think totally differently about speech, about freedom, to get rid of the guns. You have all these major corporations that have been in bed with government from day one, right? Facebook got funding from InQtel, the investment arm of the so-called U.S. intelligence community. These people have been basically an extension of the deep state from the day they were founded. And they are doing what the British government would like done, right? Censoring opinions that are not okay. I have a friend, a Brazilian evangelist. He was put in Facebook jail for literally posting a Bible verse about homosexuality, nothing else. They said that's hate speech. You're not allowed to put it on Facebook. And, you know, ostensibly they're a private company, okay. They're also completely in bed with government. But that's the direction this is moving. We're being told that certain opinions, certain speech is not acceptable, and increasingly this net is getting broader and broader to the point where now there's all sorts of things you're not even allowed to say in polite company, and there's very real threats to careers. So we're at a big risk here in America. And again, if you had told British people 10 years ago that something like what happened last week would have happened, they would have laughed at you. So it's time to take this stuff seriously.
Yeah, I think we absolutely have to. And what is the, I know he's been sending some messages from jail, and there's supposed to be some large rally, I think on the 9th of June, if I have my information correctly. What else is happening with him? Did he even have the opportunity to have a lawyer represent him? Is there an appeal, or what do you know?
Yeah, you know, that's another element. They, when they took him to the secret proceeding, they denied him access to the lawyer of his choice. They appointed a, you know, a court approved lackey who, you know, basically just threw up the white flag. And, you know, again, this is not any semblance of what, you know, Western tradition has conceived of as a justice system, right? This is the country that gave us the Magna Carta. This is the country that gave us a lot of the traditions that our founders incorporated into our founding documents. And, you know, it's all going out the window in the UK in the name of political correctness, open borders, multiculturalism, globalism, all the rest of it. There are, you know, unfortunately for them, I think this has backfired in a major way, right? Tommy Robinson ended up getting more attention than he ever could have dreamed of as a result of this. You know, they censored the press in Britain, but then, you know, it started getting picked up all over the world, and major newspapers, Fox News picked it up. So they inadvertently shot themselves in the foot or cut off their nose to spite their face. So that was good. And there's massive protests going on right there. And they're going to continue. But, you know, this is the direction that we're heading in. And the trends are absolutely clear. You had the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom stand up at the United Nations, at the UN General Assembly, and said, you know, it's not enough to just deal with violent extremism. We now need to deal with nonviolent extremism. We need a global war on nonviolent extremism. And he defined nonviolent extremism. He gave some examples. People who believe in prophecies about the end of the world, basically any Christian or you know, Jew or Muslim or anybody who takes their religion seriously, anybody who has conspiracy theories about what happened on 9/11, you know, this is where this is all heading. The European Union has now set up a Europol, and they're in charge of censoring the internet for extremist content. Extreme is basically anything that goes against the official narrative of globalism and all the rest of it. So that's, you know, that's where this is all heading. And the writing's on the wall now. They can't even deny it anymore.
So here in America, how can we be fighting back against some of that? You know, what are some techniques that normal, average, everyday citizens can use to fight back against this? And where should we be going, I guess, for information about this? I know you have contacts all over the place. Where should we be going? There's so much information out there. How do we sift the true from the not true?
Yeah, well, you know, great question. And I would recommend a couple of sources. You know, the New American Magazine, and I say that not just because I write for it, but because it's a fantastic publication that really brings you the important information that really is going to affect you. And gives it to you in a way where you can share that and educate your community. You know, this deep state special issue that we've done, we're on our third printing now. We're getting it distributed across the country to opinion molders. And that's one of the key tactics that we need to be engaged in. We need to be educating our communities. And on, you know, in addition to the New American, you have lots of other good sources of information out there. And I always tell people, you know, cross-check everything, do your own research, never take anybody's word for anything just because it's said. But, you know, there's a lot of good sites out there, Breitbart, InfoWars, WND, American Thinker. And you don't have to agree with every opinion that every one of those expresses to recognize that at least they're trying to tell you the truth and they're honest about their biases and all the rest. Whereas, you know, CNN and the rest of them are just pure unadulterated propaganda and fake news. I think one of the simplest things that people can do, one of the most powerful things that people can do, is withdraw your children from the system. And I know to a lot of people that sounds radical. Oh my goodness, what would I do without the government educating my children? You know, I'd actually have to teach them things and raise them. And, you know, I might have to give up my second fancy car and things like that. Yeah, it's a sacrifice. But are your children worth it? Right now, they're being brainwashed. They're being indoctrinated. They're being dumbed down. We can show this beyond any shadow of a doubt. I mean, the objective data is crystal clear. The American people are getting dumber and dumber and dumber with each successive generation. We're becoming more and more illiterate. We're becoming less and less capable in mathematics and all these other fields, and it's by design. So parents out there, if you have kids or if you have grandkids or if your neighbor has kids, you know, opt out of the system. You know, we can't change what the Department of Education is doing in Washington, D.C., I'll grant that. We can't fix that. But what we can do is protect our own kids, protect our own families, teach them diligently, teach them the Constitution, the founding documents, you know, the principles of your religion, the truth, the history of America, genuine science. And, you know, that is more powerful than I think anybody realizes. So I'm a big advocate of getting your kids out and doing something other than allowing the government to educate them.
Well, and especially with things like Freedom Project Academy out there, and you brought up one article in particular that highlighted something. Folks don't want to put their kids in public school anymore because of all these mass school shootings, and they're taking a look at homeschooling in particular.
That's right. And, you know, I think it's sad that it had to come to this. It's sad that people had to wait for the inevitable consequences of all this filth and lies and evil that they're pushing in the schools. But, you know, it is good that parents are finally getting a wake-up call. You know, wow, why didn't we have school shootings 50, 60 years ago? Why didn't 11-year-old kids come home from class and hang themselves in their closet? Something very different is happening. And, you know, it's really sad that it had to go this far for parents to finally start waking up. But if you look after each one of these, you know, social media gets flooded with parents saying, oh my goodness, I'm not going to send my kids to school anymore. I'm going to start homeschooling. Even the establishment media has picked this up now. So now is a great time, right? It's like the government schools are like a prison. And right now the prison doors are wide open. You can walk right out anytime you want with your kids and nothing will happen. But at some point when those doors close, you know, that's when the real problem starts. So take advantage now. We have incredible blessings of freedom in this country now. We can educate our own kids. We can educate them well and give them a good, well-rounded education. If you need support, there are tools out there. You know, the Ron Paul curriculum, the Freedom Project Academy, all kinds of tools, materials, schools. But do what you can to protect your kids from it. This is the next generation. They're being destroyed physically, mentally, spiritually in these schools. And as parents who love our kids, we must do something. We cannot allow this to continue.
I think, too, technology, in the next 10 years, we're not going to really need brick-and-mortar schools as we have them today. Obviously, we'll still be paying the bonds on them, at least in a lot of states. You know, but we're not going to need it because of the advent of the internet, the fact that it cuts down on the number of personnel that are needed. Kids can work at their own pace. You don't have one, you know, the slower kids holding up the faster kids. You have people that are learning according to their own style of learning, and it's just a better system. But with that advent of technology, it would seem like there's going to be more and more and more control. If you could kind of look out into the future a little bit, what is your thought on the technological implications, not just in regards to education, but in our, you know, in regards to our whole society as well?
You know, that is such an important question, Matt. And, you know, there's really two opposing forces in the education field now as it relates to the technology. On the one hand, you have the government, which is all about centralization. Right now, everybody knows we have the Common Core national standards. What fewer people know is that the UNESCO, the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, the UN's education department, if you will, is now trying to push what they call the World Core Curriculum. The name similarity is more than coincidental, by the way, for those who were wondering. They've got now global sex education standards. They want to start children as young as 5 years old, immersing them in the, you know, sex and the sexualization and all this propaganda. So on the one hand, you have the establishment that wants to centralize education to the point where every child on this planet is learning the same lies and the same propaganda with the same quack pedagogy that we've known for, you know, centuries doesn't work. And then on the other hand, you have this amazing explosion in diversity in education where, you know, you're a Christian, you can get yourself a great Christian education. You're a Jew, there's great Jewish options. You believe in liberty, there's great options for, you know, parents who love liberty to educate their kids. So there's these two kind of competing forces. And I think we're going to play, you know, we as the American people are going to play a big role in deciding which way this ultimately goes. Are we going to let these people dumb down and brainwash every child on this planet? Or are we going to say, no, we're going to take care of our own kids. We're going to be responsible stewards of our own children. We're going to educate them well. And as for the bigger picture, you know, beyond education, similar things are happening. You know, the Internet has enabled this incredible explosion of information and availability, where now everybody all over the planet can instantly learn that their politicians are lying to them, that the globalists want to form what they themselves describe as a new world order. So now everybody can see all this, but at the same time, you have these companies like Google, like Facebook, like Amazon, that want to control it all. And they have governments and regional organizations, regional governments like the European Union, the African Union, et cetera, that want to help them and facilitate this process. So this is kind of the tension right now, and I think it remains to be seen which side is going to win out. We got to hope and pray and work like crazy to make sure our side wins out, because the alternative is just too nightmarish to think of.
It really is too nightmarish to think of. Well, if listeners want to find out more about you or go get more information or read some of the articles, especially some of the new ones like the one on Tommy Robinson, where can they go?
www.thenewamerican.com is the online portal for the New American Magazine. You can check out all our newest articles. You can subscribe to the daily headlines that will come into your email. You can subscribe to the print magazine, which comes out twice every month. People can also read my education blog over at freedomproject.com or freedomproject.org. It's called the Newman Report. And I'll be at the Red Pill Expo right there in Washington State if people want to come and listen to some great, great speakers. You know, incredibly awesome people, leaders in the conservative movement, the liberty movement, just the best of the best. I encourage people to come out to that. Would love to meet you there. And, you know, follow me on Twitter or Facebook if you want to keep in touch. Shoot me an email. And thank you so much, Matt, for having me on the program. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Alex. I really appreciate everything you're doing. In the last minute, we've got a message really quick to the millennials. What would you tell the younger people that are listening to this show right now that may kind of not be totally sold on capitalist America?
And you've been manipulated. You've been duped. And I can tell you that as somebody who's lived it, right? I've lived in 8 different countries, 4 different continents. I've seen the horrors that socialism and big government and communism causes. Take a trip to Cuba and see if I'm not telling the truth. And, you know, just do your research and look for the truth and you'll find it.
Right on. Alex Newman, The New American Magazine, also WorldNet Daily and many others. Really appreciate all the work that you're doing. Look forward to seeing you here in June.
Thank you so much, Matt.
All right. And if you haven't read any of his articles, they're phenomenal, especially this one on Tommy Robinson. It's absolutely amazing. We're even talking about that in today's world, in Western society, that you would have a guy jailed, not given a lawyer that he wanted, and really denied any form of due process, all because of what he said. And then the press is gagged, and there's not a lot of talk about that, because why? Well, Tommy Robinson doesn't believe exactly the way they do. Well, that's not right. It used to be in America that I could disagree with what you said, but I would fight and die to protect your ability and right to say that. What happened to that? Now it's, we can't compete with these very logical, well-reasoned, well-read opinions. We need to force people to not say anything at all. You know what that is, folks? That's communism. That's tyranny. Let's call it what it is. And the sad, truly sad part, I was talking to a great friend today at lunch, truly sad part is not knowing our history and that this is all the same stuff the founding fathers had to deal with, the people had to deal with 200 years before that, that the Scots had to deal with in the 1300s, the Irish had to deal with from the 1600s essentially onward. Arguably a little bit before that in other parts of Ireland too. But the fact of the matter is this is not new. This is the same old centralization of control and authority that we have seen throughout history in the attempt to subjugate people. And it has the same hallmarks every time. Disarm the people, prevent them from protesting, prevent them from having true free speech, make it so impossible for them to speak, or if they do speak, try to bankrupt them, secret tribunals, prison, no representation legally, calling people terrorists who believe in freedom, they want to be free, don't want to be under the centralized control. It's the same thing over and over again throughout history. It just is. And to the extent that the people in downtown Seattle and other places around America know that, they are essentially embracing evil. And that is the most concerning thing of all. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Make sure you check out the Red Pill Expo coming up here. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.